You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
All right, let's go. We're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Happy Tuesday, August 12th to you, Memphis. We are all here. John Martin, we are not all here. John Martin out for the week. We've told you that. But we are plenty capable. Brad Carson and I are going to hold it down for you. I need to say my name. My name is Jason Smith.
You are Jason Smith, the great Jason Smith.
Been doing this Memphis sports thing around here 20-plus years.
Yes, sir.
And I consider myself very appreciative and grateful for that again, and grateful for our listeners, and grateful to be doing this. Hosting a 3-hour radio show in the city of Memphis, my beloved hometown.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it good? Isn't that a good thing, Brad?
Oh,
I've come. I told you I came back from the break with a bunch more gratefulness.
You have been energized these past couple of days and bringing a lot to the table. I might add, the storm is coming, of course, with football. But you brought a lot today and yesterday, of course.
Read during the break, real quick.
Yeah.
Didn't know I was going to do this, but I want to throw it on you. Mm-hmm. That life can be compared sometimes. Beautiful analogy, I think.
Yeah,
to a holding a cup of coffee. Do you drink coffee, Brad?
I do. Yeah,
I do too. I drink a lot of it.
Oh, same.
And you think about holding a cup of coffee and how if you're walking around with that thing, you don't want to get bumped into, right? You don't want to lose any of the coffee. If you think about life, we're going to get bumped into. There are going to be some times where we get rattled, right? Something happens that we didn't expect. Whatever. I mean, this is like literally every day. Maybe for you, in your job, whatever else in life, whatever else happens. And you ask yourself, what comes out of your cup? Is it a bunch of angst and man, I lost my mind. I started cursing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or is it gratitude and patience? And those guys, you think about that. And it takes a lot, right, to stay level-headed when life's throwing you curveballs. But I was thinking about it. What I want in my cup, what I want to walk around with, because you know you're going to get knocked into and it's going to spill out. What you want to spill out in those times is gratitude and an understanding.
Like
right, that everything's going to be okay through the storm.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I totally get it.
I love that analogy in that sense. We got to get the bitterness out of our cups and everything else and this thing, this feeling that life's going to just keep us down.
Yes.
We're never going to make it. Get that out of our cup and get in the gratitude and the gratefulness and all that kind of stuff. And you do better in those situations. That's why I've come back with such a sunny sort of mindset.
The mindset's been great, and I think for all of us. Well, and this is the reset point for us as parents, too, because kids go back to school. You know, you're more in, a lot of people like me, you're in more of a regular church routine. Like, you get out of a church routine even, or you get out of your mindfulness routine. And the fall will get busy, and the storm is coming. So this is like the reset point, right?
Man, it you talking about kids is where it hit me. This analogy, I think, resonated the most. Yeah. Chris had done something disappointing. You know, you tell your kid 100 times to do something, they don't do it. It's like, man, we're not getting anywhere.
Right.
This kid's not learning. And instead of me being the patient father that maybe, okay, listen, this a couple times now, Chris, you know, you need to, What came out of me was something that I was not proud of. See what I'm saying? My
totally.
Cup of coffee got bumped. I think my kid should be a little bit further along, and I felt guilty as a result later on, and that's what I'm talking about. In those instances, what's coming out of you? What I don't want, Chris, is to see somebody that loses control every time something goes a little off or unplanned. See what I'm saying?
So totally, and I struggle with the same thing, Jason. You and I
think
are
it's
similar.
All of us. I think this in some way we can probably relate to this one way or the other.
Sure.
So there's a little message for the
little
sunny message for the day on August 12th here. We're hoping everything's good with John. He's on the sunny side. And again, we'll be back full force next week. Listen, there's a new college football betting scandal, maybe. Did you see the story over at ESPN involving, in this case, a top 25 ranked team? We will talk about that today. How about this? FedEx founder Fred Smith, we talked about his celebration of life with Jeff Calkins yesterday as it happened down at FedEx Forum. But we learned from Bill Hargrave that Fred Smith was working up until the day he died. The day before, writing letters for the University of Memphis trying to get into the Big 12. I mean, everything we thought we knew the man, all the way up until the end, he was doing it. And it's just amazing to have learned that, among several other things. A beautiful celebration. Obviously, we talked about it with Jeff yesterday. We'll touch on it again. But I just thought, this guy did everything he could for Memphis all the way up until the end. How about this one? I remember John and I talking about this in June, and it seems like it's come to fruition. Not on our part. It was smart folks that put it together. There's going to be a one-on-one basketball tournament in Memphis for $5,000.
Hey,
it's not the $100,000 that Beasley and who was it? It was Beasley and Stevenson. Lance
Stevenson.
Yeah, remember
when
we talked about
together.
The story? Yeah. If you were here, I think.
Yeah, you guys were brainstorming on this.
That's what we said. If you did one of these in Memphis, and we actually talked to Herd about it, like what local hoopers? In this case, you got to be 21+, but they've got a $5,000 grand prize. Parthu Pajai's got the story up over at DailyMemphian.com. We have the dates of the tournament. I'm imagining they're getting all kinds of applicants. I got a couple of ideas that I remember from John and I's conversation. That's going to happen. We'll talk about that at some point. Let me set up the show. 11:25, we'll talk to the great Jessica Benson, host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt on Grind City Media. We'll discuss latest on the Grizzlies. Jaren Jackson had a workout, apparently with KG. Did you see that?
I didn't.
It's been on social media. Tony Allen was there, too. Now, Jaren, he had the toe thing, right?
Yeah.
And we were looking at 12 weeks evaluation. I think that we got that update from the Grizzlies, back in early July, I think it was. So I'm curious to see what we know, what details we about this workout we can provide. When it happened necessarily, I don't know that we know the timeline. But we'll talk all the latest Grizzlies stuff with Jessica Benson. At noon, we'll do the rundown. Like usual, do a run-through of the early week's NFL news. A lot of injury-related stuff. Eagles, because we talked about Landon Dickerson yesterday. They got some good news on him. 49ers got some tough news. They're struggling through injuries, particularly at the wide receiver position. And if you're an Ole Miss fan, you know all about Jordan Watkins. And he had a good preseason opener against the Broncos. He's out for a month now with a high ankle sprain. So a 49ers team that was ravaged by injury last year ended up leading them to a last-place finish in the NFC West is off to an injury-plagued start again so far, especially at that wide receiver position. We also have a timeline for Brandon Ayuk potentially in his return. Obviously, he's coming back from a devastating knee injury. At 125, Brad and I, you really got my juices flowing yesterday. We talked a little bit about it. We took the top off of a real talker, real water cooler story that was obviously bubbling right under the surface of sort of the mainstream Memphis sports scene, but hadn't really been talked about at length. And I'd gone back after we got off the air, and I saw some people that sort of tweeted about it, because when Dylan Jones, the Bartlett 2027 small forward, elects to transfer out to Tennessee Collegiate Academy, brand new Tennessee Collegiate Academy, it's news. And so a couple of people had seen that and touched on it. But we started talking about that yesterday, and the idea, and it's not an idea, it seems to have come to fruition, a collab with Tipton Rosemark Academy. Boy, Brad, after we did some real-time reporting yesterday on the show, did my phone blow up. I've learned a lot. I've learned some more things. And today we will have on Chuck Lawson, who's going to help us here, a middle school, high school basketball expert.
Nice.
Local basketball guru. I want to ask him some questions, not necessarily about what he knows about it. He may be on the same plane as us. We're all still learning some of the particulars. We've got the roster. Brad had the schedule for us. It's a national schedule. They're playing everybody Montverde. I want to ask Chuck about, because he's been around this thing a long time, much like myself. Ideas like this have come up before. Why is now the time? We know that Nike is behind this. This is, seems to be resourced in a way we've never seen before. And so we're going to ask Chuck Lawson about the impact it could have here locally on local talent. Listen, Local talent has been leaving the area. Local high school talent has been leaving the area to go to prep schools in other places for the last few years here. It's become the norm.
Yes.
If you've got one right here in your own backyard, in this case in Millington, over at Tipton Rosemark,
yes.
Why would they need to leave?
Well,
and so what will that? What kind of impact will that have here locally? Will local guys just stay? The top ones go out there? All kinds of questions to ask. I also want to ask him, just to, between me and you, because Brad and I were trying to add up the numbers, you know, just kind of our heads. How much does it take to put something like this together and to get a Keeper Jackson to come back from Florida after leaving CBHS to go to Florida, NIL all involved and everything else? How much would something like this take? I'm just going to ask Chuck sort of what he thinks, because we've been sort of in our minds thinking, well, what if you did something like this for a while, and with it all coming to fruition now, just a lot of unanswered questions, and this is an intriguing story to me.
I don't want to step on your toes, because 125, it should be a good segment to talk to Chuck about this, but it's the same question that you and I have been at. I talked to some people connected to Keeper Jackson. And
look at you, sleuth.
So Keeper went to middle school with Jake, and so I know some of his people and friends and family.
So you knew him before,
actually toured Lausanne together when Keeper was moving. I think he was in Houston, or he was in Germantown. He was coming from elementary school or middle school. He was at a year of Lausanne before he went to Christian Brothers, he went to prep school, before he went here.
Now, I wasn't aware of all the pre-CBHS movement.
Well, I think Lausanne had their eyes maybe on having to be a high school player there, and then he jumped over to Christian Brothers for high school, and then the rest is history. But I think the families are asking the same thing that we're asking. Okay, so we aspire to be at a prep school, and famously, we've got one now on roster with Curtis Givens III, who went from MUS and went to Montverde and had a terrific career.
2 years.
Yeah.
Played with
had a
Flatt.
Terrific career, and it works out great. The problem is you have to travel all over America, especially when you're taking school classes and you're trying to do remote work. Your family is here. That's a real burden. Mm-hmm. So the families are asking the same thing, and we've got a lot of talent here. So now you've got 4 or 5 or 6 of these kids from Bartlett and from Germantown and who knows where, who can just go to Millington, do their classes, and practice here. I think this is my favorite story of the last 3 months, just because I feel like the station, Jason, like we talk about a lot of the same things that a lot of stations talk about. The NFL, we'll have Jessica on, we'll talk about the Grizzlies, we'll talk about the Tigers, which we talk about a lot. But this story always is the one that buzzes me, because it's like, this is something that would not really be a talker in any other place. And so I'm excited about that topic.
I'm excited about it too. So excited. We'll talk, as we said, to Chuck Lawson about it at 125. But also, and I put this together for Thursday, I believe we'll have Tennessee Collegiate Academy head coach Mike Wright.
Hey!
In our quest,
you've been working!
Our quest to learn more about what's going on out in Millington with all these prospects. So we got a ton to get to, obviously, today. How about a little cap or no cap? It's go time for the Memphis Grizzlies. Cap or no cap. That phrase, first of all, comes from Chris Harrington's mailbag over at DailyMemphian.com today, where he writes extensively about the Grizzlies building now around Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. having traded Desmond Bane to Orlando this offseason. As he writes, in trading Desmond Bane and retaining Morant and Jackson, the latter on a new extension, the Grizzlies have seemingly reasserted their belief in the Ja and Jaren Foundation. And since both players turned 26 this summer, Jackson, by the way, turns 26 on September 15th. Ja's already 26. As Harrington writes, it should be go time. And his next line is, but it's probably not quite. And as he writes, and here's key. Facts are facts. This is Harrington. Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. have played 6 seasons together, sharing the floor an average of only 36.5 games per season. And having, and we've talked, it's a common refrain around here, having a single playoff series win between them, obviously. This one-time core 3 is now a core 2, and at 26 years old, essentially, for both of them, by the time we roll around to September 15th, they will be. This is me. I look around the rest of the league. This isn't Harrington. This is me. I look at Luka. Off the top of my head, Luka's 26. He's been to a finals. SGA's 27. He's got a ring. Tatum's 27. He's got a ring knocked on the door. I mean, how many times have they, playoff runs, deep runs for Jason Tatum at 27 years old? Tyrese Halliburton's 25. They just made a finals. Anthony Edwards, a guy that you one time, because you thought as a franchise you were ahead of Minnesota, right? I mean, you did. You beat them in a playoff series. He's 24, and he's been to a Western Conference Finals. And so the young guys in the league, some of those other young faces have been much further, right? It's not one playoff series win. And so, Harrington dives a little bit deeper into, all right, now that you've traded Desmond Bane, who's your third best asset, or what is your third best asset? Who's your third best player? It's not Desmond Bane anymore. Who is it? Is it Zach Edey? Is it KCP on a team that now has a season win total of 40.5? Remember last year's was 46.5. We've talked about what Vegas seems to think is going to be a pretty significant step back.
Yeah.
Is it KCP? Who is that? This is something I'm going to ask Benson when we have her on it. For best case scenario this year, case scenario, who needs to be the third best player on this team?
The third best player on this team is, now it's also a tradable asset in KCP, is KCP. Currently, today, I think you nailed it. Now, Wells is in the mix. You've got Santi Aldama. Might enter the discussion.
Harrington's
a little bit.
First name is Zach Edey. There is a lot riding on Zach Edey, isn't there? All of a sudden, if he's that high in the conversation. Yeah.
Their belief in him might make him third. I don't think my belief in him makes him third. I mean, he's injury prone. He's been spotty. He looked not great at times last year. So I think he needs to be, right, based on what you've invested in him.
Cedric Coward, another guy that Harrington writes about, might have to be that guy with what you did to go get him, right?
Yeah.
Or if you're including assets, and Zach Edey and Coward aren't the guys that are going, maybe it's that Phoenix pick that you have in 2026, that the 2026 draft, next year's pick, because it could potentially be the number two pick in the draft. We're expecting Phoenix. But my point is, when you're having to go look for those kinds of options, what you know now after trading Desmond Bane, I mean, I don't think Vegas is dumb here. Mm-mm. It's not go time, but it should be based on their ages.
Yes.
And I say that to say, is it go time? Heck no, it's not go time. That's obviously cap. Here's the key for the Grizzlies. Can you get Ja Morant to be patient? Because that's obviously what's required.
Yeah.
Harrington lays it out. You just said it. Like, you've got some tradable assets, some good assets. You've got Phoenix, both of your picks. You got your pick next year in Phoenix's. That could line up real well, right? There's some opportunities for movement. There's some flexibility here.
Yeah.
But that's down the road, Brad. And so you need Ja Morant to understand that, hey, even at 26 years old, and all the rest of the faces are making these deep runs, we still need you to understand this is going to take a minute. Now you're not going to get Ja to buy into 3 or 4 years before he can be a contender again. But when we say it's not going to happen this year.
No.
Do you think he understands that? Let's just listen. Ja has said all offseason he's all in. When folks have said Ja Morant needs to be traded, he says I'm all down. I'm all Memphis. But we've touched on this before. Isolo's unproven. What if this is not going right 30 or 40 games in? Is Ja still going to understand at that point that, you've got some flexibility and can make the necessary moves? More importantly, is he going to believe, even if you've got that flexibility and those resources, Brad, is he going to believe that you're the front office that can go get it done? You're talking about a man who's now fired two agents.
I know.
That doesn't reek right of a guy who's necessarily a patient.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We now, it's all out there now that he's moved on from Mike Miller. And so, listen, I'm just saying, this is the key. Jaren being a better rebounder, all that stuff, that's a whole other kind. We get it. He's got to be the best version. But if Ja ain't playing and if Ja ain't buying in, none of this is working. So can you, Zach Kleiman, get Ja Morant to buy in to, listen, you're taking a step back this year. That's the 40.5 is the season win total. And that's likely where it's going. What'd you come in? 48 last year?
Yep.
You're likely going to take a step back. Are you going to remain cool with that? You tell me that.
I think that Zach has sold Ja Morant on this thing and that he's the leader of the team. And I can only go by what Ja Morant says on X and what he says in public. And you saw it too. Like, there was no wavering this summer from Ja. It was more of a double down.
It's easier to be able to say that publicly and everything else when you can say, well, I got hurt in the OKC series and I feel like we had it figured out, we would have looked a lot better than that.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the end of that of last season was a mess.
It was.
There was nothing positive or uplifting or looked like an upward trajectory in the way they lost their defensive identity last year and everything else. Now, a lot of that, again, you had two coaching and two philosophies sort of pitted. Right. Some of that comes back to Zach Kleiman. But my point is, Harrington's right. It should be go time. It's not. It's going to require a patient job. It just feels like to me, if you're going to keep him on board for what might, it may take another year before you're ready to jump back up to that two or three spot. And I'm talking about like really ready to jump back up there and be a contender that's not going to fall back down. But the key is going to be Ja's patience. It would be nice if it was go time right now. Seems like it should be with your two stars being 26 years old because we've watched them grow up. And yet, with just the one playoff series win, it still feels like you're so far. There's still a lot of work to do. Maybe at the top of the list is just convincing Ja that there's still a lot of work to do. We're not close. Ja Morant's a guy who sort of lived on, man, we're right there, right? Yes. Not worried about anybody but Boston.
Right.
Well, does he understand that this is going to require a little bit more? You're going to need a patient Ja. All right, former Tiger Dedrick Lawson, before we get to Jessica Benson, would win the local one-on-one tournament taking place in Memphis later this month for $5,000.
Oh,
he was one of
wow.
the names we mentioned, the former Tiger, the double-double king. He's a pro now. I'll give you, Parth Upadhyay, the Tigers basketball beat writer, has got the story. It's actually a former Tiger, Willie Kemp, who's involved with this. Also, Chan Julio Douglas from Platform Basketball. They put this together. And yes, in the wake of the Beasley-Lance Stevenson one-on-one thing that went viral, they played for $100,000. Mm-hmm. It had us talking in June. In that moment, man, what if you did this in basketball? Crazy Memphis. John and I are both talking about it. I remember one of the other names I mentioned, Donald Boone, a local player out of Hamilton. D-Ray Boone still plays a ton. Yeah. Got 6'4", 6'5", type guard. But I think it was John that actually brought up Dedrick first. But yeah, here are the details that we know so far from Parth's story. 901 one-on-one tournament is what it's going to be called, August 22nd, 23rd, according to a news release they issued on Monday. Two-day event's going to be held at a location to be announced, and it's open to players 21 and older, features a $5,000 grand prize. Is that enough to bring out the big dogs, the big Memphis Hoopers?
$5,000 feels like not a lot of money for some of these guys who are playing overseas, especially Dedrick included. Because
I wonder. I wonder if Dedrick, if the stakes aren't high enough for a Dedrick Lawson to play.
I think you might be on it
because you're making so much money overseas that if you get
clipped
or hurt in this thing,
if I get hurt, what's
maybe I've been naive to think that a Dedrick. I actually tagged him on Twitter earlier today saying, "Dude, you'd come in and I mean, you're 6'9", you can shoot threes, you can back guys all the way down. I mean, he gets rebounds. Like he wakes up, I talked about it with 10 rebounds in the morning.
Yes.
I mean, the dude's been a rebound magnet. I don't think you could beat him, but maybe you've got me wondering whether 5,000 would bring out a guy like him. What it's clearly going to be an intense tournament at some point. Yes, I think Dedrick Lawson would win it if he got in it. Chris Jones, another former pro from around former Melrose High stud. He's 21 plus. He's a guy I think would be on that list. I mentioned Donald Boone, but I'm very intrigued here. Because, again, like we said, we don't know the location yet. We do know the dates later this month, August 22nd and 23rd. We're going to have on Julio from Platform Basketball next week, hopefully, and by that time we'll know where it is. I'm interested in level of baller that this tournament brings out.
Would Lester Hudson participate in this for $5,000?
I don't know, man. Lester, last time I looked, was riding around in a Porsche. I mean, Lester's done very well for him. He made a ton of money in China.
He's
former
6'3",
Central High, UT Martin.
You know,
UT
he's
Martin.
41 years old, and he's got a lot of money. You're probably not getting some of the older guys above 40 or
I just think
around
some of them
40.
22s and 23s
that
maybe
dudes.
aren't pros, but
Dedrick,
you know, work out with pros when they come back. Dedrick, I'm
he'd
taking
win it,
off
by
that
the way.
List.
I'm you're the 6'9", he'd win it.
And Dedrick Lawson, obviously the nephew of Chuck Lawson, who we'll have on at 125 to talk about TCA, but he can tell us. He's made a ton of money.
A lot
of
these guys have
money. I think the MVP in Korea, I want to tell you too, so I don't know if, but what I'm thinking is guys who aren't necessarily pros, but work out with pros in the summertime here in Memphis is probably the group of guys that we get. I'm just intrigued here.
Memphis also has a lot of underground ball players like over here at Moriah who are hoopers. Like $5,000 means a lot to some of those guys. But I think you're right. I think you're on it. Maybe some of these guys won't participate because the money's just not enough for the logistics.
I'm curious. I know it'll be well done because you got Willie Kemp involved. You got Chan Julio Douglas involved. Really cool, curious, though, on level of hooper that they're going to get. I do think it's no cap. If Dedrick Lawson got in, you consider it. Just give him the check for $5,000. This might not be quite enough money for him, but I do think it's going to draw out some Memphis ballers. Whereas Jessica Benson, if she's got one off the top of her head, we'll certainly be talking Grizzlies with her. I want to get into this, you know, this workout. I don't know a lot about it. I read a little bit about it. It looks like that Kevin Garnett says we're going to see a new version of Jaren Jackson Jr. I'm curious to see what Jessica Benson thinks. We'll do all that and more on the other side. You're listening to Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN. Jessica Benson is the awesome host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt at GrindCityMedia.com and host of the Grizzlies pre- and post-game shows. Multimedia star. You can follow on X and IG at Jess Benson TV. TikTok star. She's also reigning champ of our 92.9 Fantasy Football League. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
Jess, you going to come dominate us again if we roll out the red carpet for the champ?
Hell yeah. We got to schedule a draft day, though. I'm just realizing.
Ben is on it. I've got that in works. Yeah.
Okay, good, because I'm in a bit of a pickle. One of my friends who promised me she would never get married during football season planned a wedding in Tuscany, Italy for the weekend going into the NFL season, which is a big draft weekend for fantasy teams and fantasy leagues. So I'm trying to plan them around that. So, yes, please, I would love to defend my title with you guys.
I'll text that to Ben so he knows the timeline on your international travels.
That's amazing. Tuscany?
Thanks. Wow. Tuscany, Italy. She rented a villa. She lives in New York City. She swears that it was cheaper to plan something in Tuscany than New York. And I said, okay, that's great, except for the flights to get over to Italy. But Chris and I don't feel like we have jet over to Italy for a weekend money, so we planned a big trip around it and ended up spending more money. But we're really excited. We're going to Amsterdam, Paris, and Tuscany, and we can't wait.
We will continue to live vicariously through you as you travel, not
Thank
just the
you.
Country. But weren't you, Utah, weren't you just at a wedding? Didn't you have to test? Like,
I was just, I've got three this year. I was just at one in Park City, Utah. I've got the Tuscany one coming up, and then I have a New York City one the weekend before the Grizzlies preseason starts. So she got it in just in time where I didn't have to have uncomfortable conversations. So I appreciate that at least.
That, amazing. So it's the age, right? All your friends are getting married. Like, is that what it is? It's like John Jaren timeline 26. You know, Harrington's right, and it should be go time. Is it just go time for all your friends? It's go time.
You know, mine's been pretty spaced out. Okay. I had a year off last year where I didn't have a single one, but they've kind of all been clumped together. Like, the year I got married in 2022, I think I had four friends get married that year. I had a couple friends get married earlier, pre-pandemic, in like 2019. And then it's been like a little dab. But, you know, I had 12 bridesmaids, which was interesting decision, but a testament to how many wonderful friends I have made in this fun life. Luckily, a lot of friends have now gone away from doing bridal parties the older we get, so at least I don't have responsibilities with these weddings. I just have to attend them and have fun and drink and be merry. So it's great. I never expected to have a wedding to go to in Tuscany, so that feels like a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I'm excited for it.
Yep, I'm not going to let my wife hear about that, because she'd be like, well,
no.
you told us we're going to Europe forever. You guys are bouncing back and forth. All right, you helped me out here. I was reading Chris Harrington's Grizz mailbag this morning, and he was talking about John Jaren obviously both being 26 by summer. I mean, Jaren's going to turn 26 in September, Ja already, and how this would usually be go time, obviously, in their timeline, their ages. You look around the rest of the league, guys their age have made deep runs, have made finals runs. And he got into the third best asset, you know, or slash player. And I guess I asked Brad a version of the same question, but for best case scenario Grizz this year, who needs to be, and Harrington mentioned Zach Edey, maybe Cedric Coward, and the way he phrased it was highest upside players, not necessarily question I'm phrasing to you, who needs to be the third best player for this thing to go as well as it can go. But that's the question I'm curious about, Jess. Is it Zach Edey having to step up into that sort of third role? Is it a KCP that's sort of doing it for now and you're developing a Cedric Coward? Just for best case scenario Grizz, who's got to be the sort of Desmond Bane replacement?
I think I lean to KCP because he is the literal, I guess the long-term Desmond Bain replacement is Jalen Wells and the hope and growth from him. But I'll say the same for Jalen Wells, as I say for Zach Edey, as I say for Cedric Coward. When we talk about timelines, it feels like their ceiling or their peak is still, you know, years away. And if Ja and Jaren are entering this pristine year, 26 years old, you've been in the league at this point, you're committed to building around the two of them, you just need a clear-cut number three who helps drive that thing forward. I think your best case is that you get the version of KCP that has won championships and not the version that dropped off last year a bit in Orlando, and giving you a true 3-and-D option to play along with those two. I mean, I think in terms of, you know, the highest of ceilings, the answer is probably Zach Edey being that clear number three. I want to see it, and you never want to put too much pressure on a player going into year two either. There's something to be said about organic development, and I understand the rush, and we don't have a lot of patience in this world. But you can drive a player down by putting too much of an expectation on him too early in a career. So I guess I would lean towards KCP, but it really goes to the collection, right?
100%. Do you, you just mentioned it, you know, we don't have patience, and you've been, you know, you've been the two straight years, and we think it should all, you know, just go straight up and step backs. Boy, do we bristle up at those. Do you think that Ja Morant is ready to be patient? Because I know that's a conversation you're having with both of those guys, with Jaren and with Ja. It's just like you said, though, some of those guys that you're now depending upon, you know, could be a year or two away from really blossoming for you. So it feels like at a time where, and we know Ja's watched some of these guards that at one point you felt like you were rated above. They've had deep runs, and now some are rating them above him. He's got his shoe out that looks like it's – so you want to have success come with that. Do you think he's – understand, I mean, it feels like it's an important part of this that you're going to need a Ja that's willing to be patient. I'm not talking 2 or 3 years, Jess, but, you know, obviously with this roster, 40 and a half wins, the over under, you know, the season win total, how important it is that he stays patient?
Oh, greatly important. And I would hope that those are conversations that he's having both with the coaching staff and then also internal conversations with yourself and kind of getting to this place where you understand that you can have individual growth this year. And, you know, any athlete will tell you individual growth means nothing without the team around. That's the right thing you say, of course. But there has to be some level of Ja's reemergence into true superstar status, all-star availability, being eligible for these postseason awards where you're playing into a, you know, first or second team all-NBA kind of season if you're Ja Morant, and understanding that perhaps getting to the place where the Grizzlies are competing for Western Conference Finals appearances, the ultimate goal of an NBA Finals appearance, an NBA Finals, that might be 2 to 3 years down the road. And so kind of having these dual timelines from a personal standpoint where, yes, your growth is going to greatly impact the ultimate level of success that this team finds, but you also have to be comfortable in taking some of those individual steps forward while the rest of the team formulates around you and Jaren Jackson Jr. And I think that goes to, you know, when we talk about them turning 26, there's a level of maturity that comes, growth just mentally, yep, from all of us, but also from a professional athlete standpoint. And, you know, you never want to take too much stock in off-season conversations because everybody's happy in the off-season and putting on muscle in the off-season and getting better in the off-season. But I do think from both of them, they seem to be operating from a place where they appear pretty centered in their lives right now. And I think that's a positive and optimistic thing that you can look at when hoping that they are able to have that patience necessary, yeah, to ultimately chase a championship.
I'm with you 100%. I saw, and maybe you can shed some light on this for me. You tweeted about it or reposted it, and your colleague over Grind City, Devin Walker, I saw tweeting about it too. Jaren Jackson Jr., we saw him in the picture with KG and with Tony Allen, and KG's kind of, hey, it's OG season, another great build season. He had worked with Jaren, what, as his rookie year, I think the picture, yeah, from Devin shows. And I remember those two getting together. When you can see Jaren's got the boot on, right, from obviously the toe surgery.
Right.
And so workout, what are we sort of thinking happened? Was it a workout? Was
Aura,
it not?
Yeah. Energy transfer? I don't
energy
know. I'll
transfer.
Take it because Victor Wembanyama's in the gym with KG too. And I think everyone just needs to try to do whatever Victor Wembanyama's doing and
I'm down.
Try to stay up with him. So maybe everyone needs to take a trip to be a Buddhist monk for a week this summer as well. I don't know. Get the mentals right there. But no, I just think it's, you know, it's always cool to see, right? And like the evolution of Jaren spending that time with KG when he was a rookie and now having it, you know, in today's version of his playing life. I appreciate the connectivity of the old with the new, and it can't hurt, right?
No, can't hurt at all. We're talking, of course, to Grind City Media's Jessica Benson here on Jason and John. All right, school me. I need you. There is huge news about Taylor Swift's, I believe, 12th album that dropped on the Kelce Bros podcast. How huge is this for the world?
I think it's pretty massive. Like, I am not a Swiftie, but I am a lover of sports and pop culture, and I will stand that there is no greater continuing story in the sports pop culture crossover than Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Like, that's just a fact. And her going on this New Heights podcast, I think it drops tomorrow,
okay,
but they did the teasers for it yesterday, and they dropped a video at 12 a.m. Eastern time, 11:12 p.m. last night, basically announcing that this new album was coming, and it went out on our website at the same time, and it's something, I can't think of it off the top of my head, something showgirl related is the name of the album. But I think the more interesting thing is, from what I understand, Taylor Swift is like borderline diabolical with how she plans these releases and all of the Easter eggs that her fans grasp onto. And the fact that she's doing an album release slash, and we don't know when the album's coming out, but like the announcement is attached to the New Heights podcast with Travis and Jason Kelsey, is just a further testament to they're in deep. Like, this thing is for real. And I don't know if they're engaged or married or soon to be one of those two things, but they are very much intertwined. And this is just one more layer that adds to them kind of being in what I think we'll remember as one of the biggest celebrity couples of our lifetime.
It is
like, no matter where it goes from here.
You know, yeah. I found myself looking at Travis. He's so giddy around her now. He is so bought into it.
I know.
But I have to, she's so artsy. It's everything, like, there's so much symbolism in everything she does. It feels like she probably sits in the corner of the bed and works on this stuff all night, like the dates and the times and all. And you telling me he's sitting up with her? Like, here's another suggestion. Like, that just doesn't seem like him. But maybe it's sort of a yin to her yang type thing.
Maybe.
You know?
And I think it's, like, very cute to think of. I think something I love within my own personal relationship is just being invested in your partner's hobbies or like the little things that excite your partner. Like, my husband probably doesn't like having to go to 8 million Broadway musicals in his lifetime, thanks to me. But that's the price he pays for also getting to watch every single football game every single week. But he will at least act interested. And sometimes he even gets into it in different storylines. So I could see Travis Kelsey just loving her so much that it becomes interesting to him. And I haven't read the whole piece in GQ that dropped this morning, but he's on the cover of GQ. And I saw a quote that he gave just about the respect that he has gained of her, watching her go through her Eras Tour, and how she would never call herself an athlete, but he views her as an athlete. And I feel like that's like the ultimate respect stamp that a professional athlete can give their partner. And if you're saying stuff like that, I don't know. They just seem really committed to each other. They seem incredibly supportive of each other. And that's a lifestyle that none of us are ever going to understand. And for whatever reason, they've been able to make it work kind of with the similarities between the two.
No, I think you just hit on it. Work ethic is work ethic, whether it's on a football field or it's, you know, delivering for fans. And I think it was you that schooled me on, was it the show in Nashville where you had the rain delay and she stayed? Like, she stayed and played the whole concert. And sure, it ended late, but she gave them what they came for even after the rain delay. Yeah. And I think even as an outside guy who knows this is all big, but knows he'll probably never be 2 feet in it or never understand it, I think you draw an instant respect for that, the worker that she continues to be, and she's continued to evolve. So even not, you know.
And the same thing goes the opposite direction. Like, you know, we can look at it as like the funny, you know, artsy girl, sports boy trope. But at the end of the day, like, these are two people who are at the top of their field.
No doubt.
And, you know, I don't think it's controversial to say Taylor Swift is at the top of the world. And so there really is no equation, unless you're getting into like the Beyonce Taylor Swift of it all. But very few people will ever understand what it's like to be Taylor Swift. But Travis Kelsey does understand the work ethic, levels to get to the top of your craft, being famous, understanding the importance of coming up for your fans in a way of developing those relationships. And so all of that, I think, kind of puts together maybe this perfect soup of a relationship. And now, you know, I will listen to that podcast tomorrow, which is crazy. I'm not a Chiefs fan. I'm not a massive Taylor Swift fan. I am a fan of the two of them, and I'm interested in how they interact with one another. So tune in.
You and the whole world. You probably saw the news.
Exactly.
Parthu Pajai had a story up over at Daily Memphian about a one-on-one tournament, Memphis Hoopers. You got to be 21, and it's for $5,000. Now, you're probably not. That's probably not enough money for you to come out, for you to put the sneakers on and enter this thing. I'd ask you this. If you did this among Memphis media, a one-on-one tournament for $5,000, who would you roll with? And I, you know, we can go TV, we can go print, we can go radio. Just Memphis media guy, top of your head, or gal, top of your head, that would win that one-on-one basketball tournament. Who would you roll with?
I feel like I always see DeMichael Cole talking about how he still plays.
I gotta
go with him. A lot of us are aging out. Like, I strictly wouldn't, on principle, for $5,000 risk my second Achilles, you know? And I would give advice for many other people to be in that headspace.
You are not doing it as someone who is torn an Achilles. It's not about the money
thing. No, it would take at least 20.
What do we think about Gabe Kuhn with all that size? Is it a deal where we can neutralize the size? You know, say we're using a DeMichael. See, and I wonder about DeMichael because he does so much bragging. You sort of wonder about those guys, right? Are you really Ja that's going to back it up? Or are you really the guy that's, you know, are you Wesley Snipes?
Like,
and White
I know,
Man? Go ahead.
Like, CJ still hoops. He'll go get some runs in sometimes. I think Devin still plays every now and then. So they're a little quieter about it. And, like, CJ's just an athlete. Like, CJ's good at everything. Like, he's good at kickball. He's good at tennis. So he could maybe surprise people. But, yeah, I don't know how, like, because in a one-on-one situation, sometimes size is, like, the only thing that matters.
Exactly,
you know?
Especially is for us, some of us aging folks are not necessarily the best shape. They're, Colin Cody.
You don't have the speed and the agility that you once had.
Very true. I do wonder about Colin Cody. He is a straight athlete. He hits WREG-TV. You're probably very familiar with him. I mean, he's going to bump us around. He's got the speed, the agility.
He did practice
he's still in great
squad
shape.
At Ole Miss,
practice
Jason.
Squad player for Ole Miss, right? I kind of now, you know, now I'm thinking about it. You know, and he's firmly entrenched in the Memphis media scene. You know, he'd be one of those guys as well. Jess, always appreciate you every week.
Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
Pleasure.
Bye.
She is Jessica Benson. Make sure you're following her work over at Grind City Media, watching her show, and following her all her social media channels. She is a multimedia star. What'd you think?
So,
media contest. Who you got? Who you rolling with?
I think Colin Cody, who you arrived at the end, is the answer. And because I think DeMichael would be in the mix. I think we've got some real ballers here because you pointed out Gabe's size, which is a huge advantage.
He's still young enough to do it, right?
Yeah,
he hasn't
there's
aged
something
out.
In the tank.
He's still young,
there.
Right? There's something still in the tank. Now he's a dad now. He's probably slowed down a little bit.
But I think Colin Cody's the answer.
What? Gabe 6'7"?
Oh no, Gabe's probably 6'5".
Okay, I gave him two.
6'5", probably.
He looks about 6'7", coming down the halls because we're
all
normal
size. We're all small people.
But there's not another person in Memphis media that's that tall.
Giannotto
had
a sneaky good game when he was here. Now, he's no longer with us, but...
out of the game. It's got to be Memphis sports media guys. GP, Verno, those guys probably among the folks that have aged out. I remember Vernon when he used to take on the ribs back in the day. I think his best days probably behind him. He would probably tell you that, too. And so I'm not including those. I think glad I mentioned Colin Cody up pretty high because I think, you know, the final might be him and DeMichael.
It'd probably be those two one-on-one. Now, Colin, I had coffee once, and he described what he was working at Ole Miss back in the day, which isn't that long ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I would imagine, maybe 6, 7. He was legit playing against D1 dudes on that court down in Oxford. So, like, he's probably hung out in the gym a little bit. He looks like he's fit. I'm going to go with Colin Cody as my final answer.
I do know there is another man in Memphis media who I believe has continued to hang out in the gym, although he'd be a little bit you know, further along in age than Colin Cody. Does Doc Holliday still have any?
I had Doc on my mind.
I'm just thinking, you know.
He's fit.
WMC over there got infield, right? And Doc Holliday, they may have a say-so, the Doc a little bit on the older side.
Doc has a presence. Yeah.
The dude is still so fit. Looks like he could suit up right now. Remember what he did in Battle Balls.
About Doc, I saw him right there at the end of the Grizzlies season, and he and I spoke over by the 92.9 area there. Doc is one of these guys, the camera does not do his athletic present justice. Like, he looks, when you see him in person today, like, he's put together now, still. Like, he looks like he could play for Memphis.
It's unbelievable. Guy's in, he's in unbelievable shape. And,
Sane has some height. Like Sane is tall. Like, Sane is what, 6'5", 6'6"? I mean, Sane probably have a sneaky good game because he's got a young boy. He's you know, working out probably.
Sane, and I'm not talking behind his back because I'll say this to his face, he got some hips now too. See, Sane got some hips as well.
Is there an issue with the hip?
I'm just
there's a little bit of girth?
A little bit of girth, and I know from our days of us having our sons in martial arts together, one of those hips a little bad.
I didn't know
see,
that.
That's inside info that I probably shouldn't have put out, but I'm not sure. That's why I didn't have Sane high on my list. Again, this all
you're
comes,
telling secrets now. No, but you would have said it in, if he were here. He'd acknowledge.
I don't think Sane will be entering.
Okay,
and he's got a bad hip. I think he's.
What about
one those
guys at Bluff City
out.
Media? Are any of those guys on camera that work with Gabe or Sane or any of those cats athletic?
I don't know that anybody's on that DeMichael's Colin Cody level.
Connor is now over 30. I mean, he's a pretty decent athlete, but, you know, more of a baseball player, probably.
Again, this all comes from the 901-1 versus 1v1 tournament that will take place August 22nd, 23rd. We're just learning the details about it. Parth has got the story up over at DailyMemphian.com. It's crazy because John and I had literally had this conversation after the Lance Stevenson the one-on-one battle with Beasley, and that one was for $100,000. We said, I should do this in Memphis, and here it is. Now so, some smart people have put this thing together, and I mean, they're going to sell tickets to it and everything. We'll hopefully have details by next week of where this thing is, but they've got the register link. You can find it over at DailyMemphian.com.
Are you suggesting we should do a media version of this, like for like a sack of donuts?
It's fun. It's more fun to suggest than to actually the idea of actually suiting up and having to go back go out there. So maybe the younger dudes, Colin.
What about
DeMichael,
Parth Upadhyay from the Daily Memphian? Does he have any ability?
I think
he's from North Carolina.
I think we've discussed this with him. He does bring good size.
He's big.
Yeah,
he's big. Yeah, and he's
larger than
young and big.
Most Memphis beat writers that I remember, I don't remember anybody with necessarily the size he brings to the table. Don't know that he's athletic enough.
I haven't seen him hoop, though.
Don't know that he's athletic enough.
Yeah, maybe not.
Looks like a bit of a slow mover.
He's kind of, he doesn't, looks like he's taking care of himself and not spending a lot of time in the court.
Right.
And I like Parth.
I wish Joe Jackson could get in this thing. But don't get me reminiscing about him. I don't know what kind of shape Joe's in. Or if he's even in town.
Well, but you put him in a guy like Diedrich on a floor. Diedrich is so big, man. And he's,
Well, that's kind of why I went to Gabe Kuhn, because there is one that,
size.
Just size.
Yeah.
When you're, it's this level of basketball, you got a guy that can back you down and you can't get around him to go steal his ball. I mean, he can pretty much take over. So, Gabe's
got
anything left in the tank. He should at least be in the semifinal.
Yeah.
And maybe with Colin Cody, and we're going with DeMichael Cole as our finalist there. And the Memphis media 1v1 that will never happen, never come, but is fun to talk about. And the real thing, like we said, will be August 22nd, 23rd at a to-be-determined location that we'll hear from Willie Kemp and Chan Julio Douglas here in the coming days where that's going to be. So we'll keep you posted on all the details. We got a lot more to do, including a run through the NFL, all the latest injury news. There's a lot. Told you update for a Philadelphia guard, one of the best in the game. They got some good news. Dickerson there. Going to be that and more when we get back. You're listening to Jason John, 929 FM ESPN.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit SmileGeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.